What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Yo, 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 what is going on? Welcome to another edition of DB2 Bets, brought to you by Betstamp. You know the drill. We use that Betstamp app, and we're finding the best odds available across all of the different sports books. What's going on? It's your host, Josh Elijah. Hope you've been having a great week. Hope you've been having a fantastic week. Enjoying the weather, whether it's hot, whether it's muggy, whatever the fuck it is. Hopefully you've been enjoying it and placing wagers and hitting them as well. To my right here, actually, I think this might be one of the first times that we haven't done this remote. We're doing this side by side here for DB2 Bets. But we got Mikey Fulmer to my right, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good, boys.
Yes.
I'm ready to rock and roll.
Here it is.
Nice long weekend up at Ipperwash with yourself.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And the folks.
Couple pops in the sun, couple yups down the gullet. You know, it's just standard. It's standard. It is what it is. And then obviously we have our pillar for the show here, Birdman. How you doing, buddy? Good to have you. Good
to see you, fellas. Good to see you too. 2 days in a row, it's a treat.
I know. We were wrapping up one of our long form interviews with Zach Schwartz from Sway and Wave TV and Buckets, formerly from The Ringer and the NFL and Yahoo Sports as well. So really excited to be releasing that in the coming weeks. But for now, we're going to be talking about our picks for August the 5th and 6th. So picks for Friday and Saturday. And guys, I am really, really stoked to be bringing on this gentleman onto the show here. We've been watching a lot of his content that he's been putting together for Betstamp. We actually have Jake from Betstamp and host of the Amateur Hour podcast. Jake, my man, how you doing? We've made it. We finally got you on. How are things going, man?
I'm doing very well. Happy to be here. Excited to be talking about the games.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. It's great. Been following you on with a lot of the content you've been putting out. You're very knowledgeable when it comes to all things sports, you know, whether or not it's Raptors, Leafs, anything. Like, man, you've been pumping out great content. So always a treat to watch.
I appreciate that. Along. You guys been doing your thing as well.
Oh man, don't make us blush. We're trying. We're new at this, but you're a seasoned professional, so it's always great to have someone like you on the show. And even just, you know, we love having people from the Betstamp crew on as well to be able to just talk around, because you guys live and breathe sports betting as well. Like that is what do day in, day out. And you know, that's what we're striving for as well. But man, we love to hear about like just even the come up story and how you actually got started with everything, you know, even just when it comes to the world of sports and making your way over to Betstamp.
Yeah. So, I mean, like anybody wants to be involved in sports, betting on sports, they've probably been sports fans their whole life. Yeah. So grew up a sports fan, mostly associated with soccer. Big Premier League fan all my life. I played soccer throughout my life, played soccer in university. But when I was in university, decided I wanted to get myself involved in media. And anybody who ever talks to me about getting involved in media, they say it's hard. So yeah, all the advice is essentially just start your own media, become your own boss, start creating your own content, exactly what you guys are doing here. Yeah. So I decided to start the Amateur Sports Podcast. Grinded that out for like 8 months or so just on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Decided the future of the channel was on YouTube. Started making YouTube content. Decided to switch from a general sports show to Raptor specific stuff.
Nice.
Channel really started to take off from that point. Happy to report, I guess, channel's at like 11,000 subs now.
Just saw that, my dude. Cheers. That's fucking amazing. Yeah.
I'll cheers to that 100%.
It's a huge milestone.
Yeah. And That's 11,000, how I got involved. 11,
so, but we're working on it.
Hey, hey man, it took me like 8-9 months to get 100 subs. This stuff doesn't happen overnight.
Oh, yeah.
People absolutely. That stick with it, man.
We're in 2 weeks. Yeah, absolutely.
And all that stuff is important because without amateur sports, I don't work at BetStamp. So what happened, how I got my start with BetStamp, I'm sure you guys, Goody, I'm sure you're in talks with Josh Goodwin a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He actually wanted to recruit me for like a brand sponsor. He wanted for BetStamp to sponsor my channel. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to slip into the conversation. I'm currently like looking for a job, so I won't be available all the time for meetings. And shout out to him, put me on with the top guys at BetStamp to get
me. Our boy Josh, man, he makes things happen. He moves mountains for us. It's it really is great.
Hey, absolutely, it's exactly what he did for me. So shout out to him. Shout out his Raptors show, Raptors Digest, and he got me involved with BetStamp, and been here 4 months now.
That's amazing, man. Dude, it is really a privilege to be a part of BetStamp, and have that, because it's not even just a sponsorship. It is a partnership. It's a two-way street, and they're always collaborating with us as well. So it really is sweet as well. And there's going to be lots of opportunities that are going to be coming up for that as well. So make sure you stay tuned to their social media and stuff, because they're looking to expand. But I'll leave it at that for there. Anytime I bring someone on from BetStamp, obviously we are preaching line shopping and the power of line shopping and, what it does and how much more you're able to make when you actually line shop. Now, are there any other sort of tips or any sort of maybe your take on line shopping for, what anyone that is looking to get into betting and how much more drastic it can make a difference of when you're placing bets?
I cannot stress it enough. I can't believe I didn't do it before I started working here. I guess nobody really taught me. But
yeah,
oh my goodness, just
it's
like
a brand new concept for us too.
I don't bet big. Like my unit size is like $10, and so people say, it doesn't really make a difference. But like, if every day I'm betting like $10, let's say I win half of those bets every week, I do a $10 bet a day, I'm making like 50 cents to a dollar more on each of those bets. Like over the course of a month, that's like $5. Over the course of a year, like that's just exponential growth. And betting is already so extremely difficult to win at, why not give yourself an advantage and line shop? And as far as maybe searching through different sports books is too long for $10, a $10 bet, but 30 seconds on BetStamp, you know exactly where to bet.
Super. Exactly. That's highlighted right at the top. Is there any sort of advice that you could give? I usually ask this, especially when we have people from BetStamp on, but is there any sort of advice that you can give to people that, might be a little weary of, I don't know, I've been using Bet365 for my, entire betting career, if you want to call it that. But is there any sort of advice that you might want to give to someone that might be hesitant for opening up multiple sports books in order to line shop?
I know people, when they go to the grocery store, they look for the cheapest item. They look for the great value, the no-name brand, whatever's cheapest. Right. That's the one, Mike.
That's you.
That's the one they're gonna get, and they'll spend a little bit of time picking the cheapest item.
Yeah.
Some people I know will drive an extra 5 minutes to go to a cheaper gas station because they know one is cheaper.
Of course,
it's the exact same concept as everyday items. So why would you not save money and spend like an extra, just like literally, like it could take me 10 seconds to do it. Why would you not want to get more money out of your bet?
Absolutely. It really just drives home that whole point as well, is just maximizing your return. I mean, if you're not doing that, is you're just being lazy. It's flat out. Is really just common
sense. That's it.
I was skeptical at first too, because I thought like, but I already have $50 in this account. I want to take 50 out of my checking and put it into the next one. And I quickly realized it's as simple as this. You want to put $20 in, take 20 out of the other one.
Exactly.
Just transfer money out, and then it's not costly, right?
I would recommend if you want to start multiple sports books, what I did, I just created another bank account, like another checking account in my bank. I put all my money, my bankroll for sports betting in there. If I ever put any money in, I take from that account. And if I ever take money out, it goes back into that bankroll account. So I know exactly how much money I started with, how much money I'm with at a specific point.
And you can move it from
Insurers.
I have an account for that too. But it's more or less for fantasy. Like, I have my own fantasy checking account, but I guess I dabble in when it comes to betting as well. So very, very smart. I'm into that. Now let's jump into some of the hot topics that we want to talk about today. We're going to be covering MLB and obviously the Premier League starting tomorrow, actually Friday the 5th. And thank God for having you on the show, because we know dick all about Premier League. So really, really going to be leaning on you for that, Jake. Before we get into that, let's chat a little bit about the Major League Baseball trade deadline going down earlier this week on Tuesday. Some blockbuster deals going around. Juan Soto ends up making it over to the San Diego Padres. That story is a bit exhausted, obviously. A lot of people that think that, you know, that the Washington Nationals didn't get that big of a return, they obviously don't know the Padres farm system, because they got some pretty big prospects back there. But we're not here to even talk about that. We're here to talk about our Blue Jays. I'll start off with you, Jake. How do you feel about the trade deadline, and maybe give it a grade even? Do you think that we met what we needed to?
Yeah, so I'm not like super invested into the depth of the MLB, but just on the surface, looking at the trades, I saw a lot of people on Twitter were kind of moaning about how the Jays didn't make a push for a Soto or an Ohtani at the deadline, trying to make the big splash. I don't think this team is quite ready for that big splash. That's your missing piece type of trade, I would say. So I'm okay being patient with such a young team, a team that's going to hopefully continue to get better and better every season. But what we did need to address was the relieving pitchers. We didn't get any like huge names there, but we got some solid guys. We're going to help fill out the relievers, maybe some guys that we can trust a little bit more on a day-to-day basis. And I think just that alone, the confidence that's going to instill in the rest of the guys out there in the dugout, like, it makes a difference. That kind of stuff does make a difference. So I would say it's a fine deadline. They did what they had to do, and they didn't give up a ton to make it happen.
Of course.
I'm with you on that, 100%. Especially with the Astros and the Yankees looking like juggernauts in the East. Let's go see this team make the playoffs and win a series, maybe.
Yeah.
And then you know they're learning how to win, and then maybe next year then you can maybe start selling a little bit of the farm and going to get that guy you need at the deadline. But I think they need a little more time. Like, they could go on a run. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, they're in win now mode, but they're not.
And I do think that they did address everything they really needed to, except for maybe getting that bottom of the rotation pitcher as well. Look, the problem is that, you know, a lot of Jays fans that are just surface fans, like off the top, they're looking for those big, sexy names. They want a big name to come in. Like, they want that Noah Syndergaard. And like, honestly, I'm not interested in really renting him for another year, because this is kind of proved that he can come back and be healthy. And then he's going to ask for 19 or 20 next year. So, I mean, like, it is simply a rent for him. So I'm kind of happy that we didn't pull the trigger on that. I would have maybe liked to see maybe like a Castillo Castillo was probably who I really wanted to see slide in there, because that's very similar to the Barrios situation that we had last year. However, that we would have to, you know, mortgage our future a little bit and get rid of some top picks that we have with that as well. So in reality, I mean, Bass is as good as a reliever as some of these other sexier names that a lot of people were hoping that the Jays would go after. I mean, like, sure, you're looking for more swings and misses, but Bass actually gives that to you. You're just not reading the stats right. If you're not looking into it, if you're a Jays fan and not happy with having Bass as at the end of your bullpen. So for me and Merrifield as well, I don't know, were you a big fan of the Whit Merrifield pickup? Or?
Oh, I did. I was, yeah.
I mean, everyone's forgetting.
He's a utility player.
That's exactly what we needed.
He hits 2 years in a row, not long ago. He's a great hitter. Absolutely. Sets the table for some of those power guys.
Absolutely. And he's got speed everywhere. He's got a decent OBP, and he's got some speed as well. So I think it was actually a pretty decent trade deadline, and we didn't give up too much, and we addressed the needs. We didn't address like the long-term needs, but we addressed what we needed to now, especially while we make a playoff push. And also, you don't really want to shake things up too much, because we have a good thing going. I feel like getting rid of Charlie and bringing in Schneider, like that happened at like the perfect time. It was probably well calculated at that point, and they don't want to mix up the chemistry that we have in the locker room. So, I mean, for me, I think it was a pretty good deadline.
Yeah. Sorry. I it was fine. Yeah. We addressed what we needed to do. You said it perfectly. We didn't give up a ton to make that happen. Mm-hmm. We'll kind of, for the lack of a better term, tread water, but I think we're doing a lot better than that. We're 12-4 under the new regime since we got rid of Charlie. So
yeah,
things are looking pretty good right now. And like you were saying earlier, let's just get into the playoffs, see if we can win a playoff series. And then next year, let's kick on, start challenging the Yankees in the AL East.
Absolutely. There was a take that I also heard as well that, you know, getting rid of Charlie was at a specific time because it was an easier part of the schedule for the Jays to maybe catch the momentum when they bring in Schneider, who's next up.
Right before the Royals.
You're right before the Royals, right. And then you're rolling after the All-Star break as well. And, you know, I mean, obviously you went into a tough series with Boston, but they were able to come out on top. So, honestly, if you're a Jays fan, you're upset with the trade deadline, you might be one of those guys that's holding on to Vladdy at the beginning of the season saying last year was the trailer, now this year is the movie. And then you might be hoping for something more theatrical when it comes to the trade deadline.
That's a bit of a cold take from Vladdy, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely got people riled up a bit, but I mean, it's not like they're playing bad baseball. So, I mean, there's a long movie. So, I mean, who knows? there's a lot of time left and the Jays are playing great baseball. So,
hey, winning is fun. This team is winning. This is a fun team and it's a winning team. So it's a lot of fun watching this team. You know, we grew up watching the Jays like lose the entirety of our lives pretty much up until they made that huge trade with the Marlins, when they got Reyes, Burley, all those guys.
I don't
even remember how many guys were in that trade. Until then, like, it was just all losing for the Jays. They hadn't made the playoffs since like the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, I'm basking in these fun times watching this team, and I know they're young and they're getting better. I think we need to, a lot of fans are just in the mindset, it's either you're, you know, going for like draft picks or you're trying to win a World Series. You know, sustainable success works.
Under Alex Anthopoulos, I mean, like, he probably would have traded for fucking everybody and their brother. So it's like
he was running the GM.
He was a mad guy, played man.
Video game.
Yeah, he was notorious.
He's playing the show. Oh man, for sure.
Yeah,
he's just like, it worked on my PlayStation. Like,
every game possible, man. He's a champ now. He's a World Series champ now.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, hey, so I mean, it's been in the turnaround time from that era of the Blue Jays to what we have now. I mean, it is exciting, and you know, it's not gonna, you know, you're not gonna go from just missing the playoffs to World Series next year. So I mean, this is still a bit of a process, and there's things that we're gonna have to address, especially with contracts that are gonna come up, and people got to get paid. So you can't bring on some of these huge contracts if you want to be able to pay.
That's the thing.
The Vladdy's down the road. So sit tight, Jays fans. Don't be disappointed with the trade deadline. Be patient.
Try to enjoy it.
Too. Enjoy it for Christ's sake.
Sometimes we do that. And I'm a victim of it too, just worrying about like, but is it enough to win a World Series? And just stop appreciating that. They're hard hitting, fantastic ball club that you have to watch.
Offense ain't the issue. And so they went out and they got Merrifield, right? Which is what they needed to address. He can play any, like, a lot of positions in the infield and outfield. Sure, he's not a lefty, but he still gives you what you need. So, I mean, as long as you get the jab, bud, and you can start playing north of the border.
He did today, apparently.
Oh, he did? Well, then fucking there you go.
Apparently, he's going to be, when the Jays return, he's going to be playing. That's what he said today.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I hope they wouldn't have made that call on trading for him if he didn't agree to that.
I think his thing, for sure, from what
they
I
didn't. Imagine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you play for us now. Were you planning on getting the vaccine?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. It's nuts. He just wants to play for a playoff contending team. So, I mean, like, for him, it's an easy decision. So, man, really, really excited. I mean, just to even be down in the dome last week when I was watching the Cardinals and Jays, they had 30,000 fans on a Tuesday afternoon. So things are exciting. There's a lot of great baseball ahead of us here. So definitely.
I love going to the Rogers Center to watch games. Yeah. And this year feels good. Like it's definitely electric in there. The fans are excited about this team.
Absolutely.
I know they're probably not quite as good as we were wanting them to be this season, but the fans are loving this team. So it's a lot of fun.
I mean, when you do look at some of these other teams as well that beefed up, like you look at someone like Minnesota, for example, that is looking to make a deeper playoff push as well. And they go out and they pick up Lopez from Baltimore. I mean, like, man, they gave up a lot for a young pitcher that they needed a closer, but we don't need. And then you hear Jays fans like, why couldn't we get Lopez? It's like, because we don't need Lopez. We don't need a second closer right now. We just need some.
Ours is pretty good. Relief pitch,
so yeah, ours is probably got more saves than anybody else in the American League. So
people are impatient too, dude. Like, if there isn't immediate success, it's like a failure. You know what I mean? Like. There's a process to it.
Absolutely.
You just got to be patient.
Got to be patient. Anyways, let's jump into these picks that we have here for Friday, August 5th and Saturday, August 6th as well. And obviously, as always, brought to you by BetStamp, where we use the BetStamp app to find the best odds available. So make sure, especially if you're on Ontario, make sure you check out betstamp.app/Ontario and use that promo code DB2 to access all the sports books that are available here in Ontario and take advantage of those sweet sign up bonuses. If you're outside of Ontario, just make sure you get on that BetStamp app. You should already be on it anyways, but if you're not, download the BetStamp app in either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and use the referral code DB2 in your account settings. And then you're able to also get all of those sweet sign up bonuses as well throughout all the different sports books. That being said, we're not going to touch the Jays. We've already talked a lot about the Jays. We're not touching the Jays. There's a couple interesting matchups. Why don't you kick it off with your call here on the Atlanta Braves as they take on the New York Mets?
Yeah. So we got the Braves versus the Mets.
This one is interesting to me because there's a lot of different, there's a couple different things here that I got some question marks behind. So I'm very interested in this take here.
So I'll preface how I usually go about making my wagers.
Let's do it.
I like to make wagers in the morning. I get up. I have quite a commute to get to the BetStamp office, so I'm usually up pretty early.
Yeah.
I like to look at how lines have moved overnight, and I like to make bets early, and I want to see CLV. CLV isn't everything. Closing line value isn't everything, but if I'm consistently pegging some really good positive CLV, I know my money's going in the right places. So for this Braves one, I looked at the game and I was like, I kind of want to take the Mets on this one, like just by like kind of looking at the pitchers, the matchups, and everything. Yeah. But I feel like we got +120 here on the Braves. We locked it in at Pro Line Plus.
Yes.
And I just feel like this is really, really good value. It seems a little bit off market to me. You got a lot of books as low as, I'm just kind of browsing through, low as +100. You got a lot of these Ontario books in the low hundreds. I see like +102, +105, +108, +105, all that. This is one where I don't even need to look at the pitchers. I don't even need to look at who's playing. I just really like the line value. Sometimes I go with picks like that. Sometimes there's games where I'll go with just my other pick, which we'll get into it later. But that one is more so I'm looking at who's playing and I really like the matchups that I see. This is a strict value pick. Like, I'm not going in depth on who's pitching. Obviously, Walker is a great pitcher for the Mets here. They'll have Walker on the mound.
Yeah.
Atlanta will have Anderson, who's a fine pitcher as well. But this is a value pick in my book.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was just kind of my question as well, is, you know, when you're looking at the ERAs, like you have Anderson at 5 and then Taiwan Walker is basically at half of that. So, I mean, definitely the stronger pitcher and you're playing in New York as well. So, I mean, for me, I like that's the sort of thing. But if we're going straight off of value, then obviously the Atlanta Braves are.
Yeah.
Are the
ones let me give a bit of advice. Anybody betting, this is a good, really good piece of advice you can work with. Stop betting into who you think is going to win. Start betting on probability. So if the probability favors the line that you're betting on, even though you don't think it's going to win, like I said, I was kind of liking the Mets, but. Bet into probabilities rather than betting into like who you think is going to win, because you could come up with a pretty decent narrative for either team in a money line matchup why you think they're going to win. So it's difficult to do, but think of it more as a probability than as this team is going to win.
Very, very useful piece of advice. Absolutely. Absolutely. Great. Well, we're going to be taking the Atlanta Braves money line +120, and the best odds were available over at ProLine Plus. Again, we're recording this on Thursday night as we release it for Friday. So the lines do move, and that's why it's always in your best benefit to check out the BetStamp app and be able to track all the different lines that are moving and be able to hop on it as soon as you possibly can before they do.
Well, let's plug you guys. When you bet it, you verify it. So if you want to see it, if you're listening, watching on Friday, the picks are in on Thursday night. The notification goes out. You follow DB2 on BetStamp.
That's exactly it.
Fail or fade at your own risk.
There you go. Love it. All right, moving right along. Let's go over to the Milwaukee Brewers, and you're taking them on the run line here as they face the Reds.
Yeah. So this is one that is not probability based. This is me seeing Robert Duggar pitching for the Reds. He's been in and out of the show throughout this season. Yeah. I do not have really any sort of confidence in him as a pitcher. For the Reds, Eric Lauer on the mound for the Brewers, who are a high-flying team. Reds, not a high-flying team.
The opposite. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think, we're getting some good plus money on the Milwaukee Brewers. I think we got them at +110 on the run line.
Yeah,
we did. We got that at Caesars.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one where I kind of go against what I was saying earlier, because I just feel like the matchup just really does favor the Milwaukee Brewers here. I'm hoping they just get to Duggar early and put in the runs.
Yeah. And especially for it being in Milwaukee as well.
One team's a buyer, one team's a seller at the deadline too. I mean, I can see the Reds coming out flat and getting pummeled because they gave up Castillo. They just gave up the other guy to San Diego.
Yeah.
And the Brewers are buyers, and they're going to make a push the pitch-up match.
They shopped out Castillo, and they got rid of Brandon Drury, former Jay. So, I mean, that totally makes sense. There's not much more to really dive into when it comes to this.
No, I literally just saw the pitching matchup, and I saw the plus money. I'm like, that just...
And you're like, okay,
this looks good to me.
That's plus money with them at home.
Plus money.
That's a juicy one.
I mean,
that might be one that changes overnight. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you might want to be able to get on it now, because sometimes when it's that heavily favored and or pushed in one direction, you might wake up the next morning and the run line has actually gone up to -2.5. So, I mean, if you can find it at 1.5 now, then you take it. Or you can even buy a run if you're feeling that confident. So, but we are going to go with the Milwaukee Brewers here on the run line, -1.5 runs at +110. That's great plus money available over at Caesars Sportsbook. God, I love Caesars. All right, moving along here. It is the beginning of the Premier League. The first time that we are ever talking about this on this show. We are... I guess just sheltered North Americans, if you will. And we like our American sports. But I mean, we don't know dick all about soccer. I mean, like, you probably want to shoot me for even saying soccer. But yeah, no, European football.
No. I love soccer, man. I'm not like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, yeah, no, I got some fucking friends who are like, oh, talking football. I mean, football is football. I'm like, shut up. but we, I'm really excited to be able to break into this. And, this is basically you take this away for us. And, you know, even from some of our listeners, cause we have a few American listeners as well. Just sort of talk to us like we're 4-year-olds at this point when you're breaking down some of these picks here and what the teams and what the matchups are that we're looking at. Let's start off with Arsenal, which is tomorrow's game.
Okay. So we've got tomorrow, first game of Premier League season. We've got Crystal Palace hosting Arsenal, Selhurst Park. Last season, if I recall correctly, Arsenal was in the first game of the season. This doesn't matter. This is just kind of funny context. Arsenal lost to a newly promoted side first game of the previous season, which was kind of funny because I actually don't like Arsenal, but just kind of browsing through the lines for this one. Arsenal had a really good summer, in my opinion, with their transfer window. They brought him some good pieces. They're a young team, ascending team. I really like their front line of Gabriel Martinelli on the left, Bukayo Saka on the right. I really like the signing of Gabriel Jesus, who has just been tearing it up in preseason. I mean, preseason, nice. I get it. It's preseason.
Sure.
It's kind of like, you know, NBA Summer League. I always say that if a player's playing well, it doesn't mean much. If they're playing poorly, though, that means something. But this team, this team was flying in preseason. So based on that, based on how they finished last season, and you know, Crystal Palace in my book didn't have a great summer transfer window. I don't think they really added in. I mean, I don't really think they added in anything, to be honest. Right. I like Arsenal to win this one. We had them at minus 111. Just check the book. We got that at
Coolbet.
Coolbet. Yeah. Kind of Coolbet.
Yo, Coolbet is fucking sick. I love Coolbet. So yeah, shout out to Coolbet. Always shout out Coolbet. To find their way onto the lines here, some way or another.
So. I think it's a good bet here. Arsenal to win this one. They even the last very small pocket of the season, they were poor. But overall, like second half of the season in general, they were good. I think they've addressed a lot of the deficiencies with the team. Brought a new left back in Zinchenko. They're finally giving a center back in William Saliba an opportunity to play. I think he's going to be one. I think he's going to be their best center back this season. Nice. I really do not like Arsenal. I'm not a fan of Arsenal, but I just think, hey man, there's money to be made. I think this is a good bet here.
I'm not experienced that much with the Premier League teams, but is Arsenal not a bigger team and have more money?
Yeah. So in terms of,
is it City Palace, Crystal Palace?
Crystal Palace. So
the size
of
Crystal Palace, like, man.
Arsenal's yeah, definitely Arsenal's one of the bigger
Crystal Castles.
Crystal Palace is not a big club. Arsenal is a big club.
That's it, what I mean.
But
I
okay. They're big in stats. Like Manchester United, who I'm a fan of, they're arguably the biggest club in the world. They don't have, I'm not expecting a great season for them. I'm a Manchester United fan, but these big clubs, I wouldn't call them necessarily rebuilds. Like for these teams, rebuilding means finishing like, you know, sixth or seventh. It's not like going to the bottom, but it's just take a bit of time to get these young players developed, which I think they've done a good job in doing. They came fifth last season. They kind of bottled fourth place. You want to come top four because top four in the Premier League go to the Champions League. They qualify for the Champions League. Right. So missing out top four, slightly catastrophic for a team as big as Arsenal, but some improvements made. You know, just kind of thinking about it now. I remember I made this stuff doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But like going back and seeing their record against the team doesn't usually matter for betting. But I remember I bet on Arsenal beat Palace a little bit late in last season and Palace won 3-0. But I have confidence in Arsenal. I just really think the attack force is going to overwhelm that Crystal Palace defense. And I think they're solid enough in midfield and defense to shut the door on a pretty mediocre Palace strike force, other than Zaha, who's on the wing. But I trust Arsenal against Palace for Friday.
Absolutely.
For tonight, I guess, when this comes out.
Absolutely.
So yeah, the only reason why I say that is because, like, you see Arsenal, they're like a worldwide known club.
Everybody knows Arsenal.
Palace.
Absolutely.
It seems like a fucking London, Ontario team, and you're getting them at minus 111. That's all I need to see.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, no, I mean, Arsenal, I mean, everybody knows Arsenal. So, I mean, that's, I mean, like, I love seeing that with our picks as well. So that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to take Jake's lead here. We're going to take Arsenal money line minus 111.
Hey man, I hope I come through for that. I hope I come through. Bet.
Well, you know what? I mean, like everyone, like we've mentioned, everyone's heard of Arsenal, but this next pick I'm really into. We're going with the Wolves. I want to hear more about this. I just love their name. The Wolverhampton Wanderers, buddy.
I feel like when I dude, when I saw this line, I actually feel like I'm going crazy. I could not believe they were a plus. I saw them yesterday at plus 250. I'm like, there, we got them, by the way, we locked them in at plus 230. I should have capitalized when I shot,
but all good.
I'm plus 230 at Bet Rivers. Still a great price. I feel like I'm going insane. If you blindly told me to guess what the Wolves money line would be for this game, I would have guessed like maybe conservatively like plus 130. They are the in my book, like I could come off looking like an ass man, but in my book,
not to us, we don't know shit. So it's all good.
Yeah, but I don't want the, like somebody look back. What the fuck was he talking about?
Yeah.
Wolves in my book are the far superior team to Leeds. I think Leeds are going to struggle to stay up this season, not get relegated. You guys know how like relegation works and stuff.
No, that soccer. Sounds bad.
You finish last, right? You end up going to.
Oh, okay. So there's like a tiered system. So there's the Premier League, then it's called the Championship. Kind of weird, but the second tier is called the Championship. You finish bottom three in the Premier League, you get relegated to the Championship, which is the lower division, and the top two plus the playoff winner. Strange. I don't want to go into it.
No.
Essentially, the top three from the Championship get promoted to the Premier League. So
gotcha.
Bottom three in the Premier League go down. I think Leeds are within a threat of going down this season. In fact, I would predict right now they will go down. Wolves are a top half team. I think if there's 20 teams, I think they're a team that's going to be fighting to be in the top 10. I know there's a little bit of injuries with Wolves, but like this is a probability one. I'm not saying, you know, I think Wolves will win. I'm saying plus 230 is ludicrous to place Wolves at. Like, absolutely ludicrous.
Love it.
Like, if I blindly predicted their money line, I would say, like, plus 120, plus 130.
And then just say 230.
Sorry, the thing about money line here is that there's a three-way, because you can tie.
You can tie.
So, yeah. If there was no tie, they'd probably be, like, in my book, a minus, like, 120, 130. So with the three-way factor in mind, like plus 130, and we're getting them at plus 230. This actually is making me, like, I think about this so much. Why are they at plus 230? Why are they at plus 230? That doesn't make any sense to me.
You're going
to
be saying that as you fall asleep tonight.
some intern at Bet Rivers is getting fired.
Like, I looked at injuries. I looked at everything. Like Leeds were really bad last season. They barely didn't get relegated. They got worse. They sold their best player. They didn't bring in any replacements. Their best two defenders, in my opinion, are injured. I really struggle to see what the line, how the line is set the way it is. But
yeah, absolutely. Well, buddy, we love it. We're gonna take it.
You're riding.
We're gonna ride. Absolutely. Let's go, Wolves. Ow! Yeah, man. I'm in. Yeah, we're definitely going to go with the Wolverhampton Wanderers. The Wolves, money line, plus 230, insane odds there. And we're going to take them at Bet Rivers. Also, it's a couple other books actually had them at plus 230 as well. So pretty crazy that, you know, that those odds are being set there.
Yeah,
so,
sorry. I one thing I forgot to point out. This is like plus 230 is something I'd usually go like half unit on.
Okay.
But I just... Again, the price blows me away, so I went full unit just because I feel like there's such good value on that. But if anybody feels like tailing, half unit might be a little bit smarter.
Lock it and load it. Let's do it. Great. So that caps off everything that we wanted to cover today when it comes to our picks. That is basically what leads us up here to our pick and roll, which is brought to you, obviously, by BetStamp, where we use the BetStamp app and we're finding the best odds available. And here are our picks and our rolls for August the 5th and August the 6th, 2022, and also brought to you by our boys over at Yuck Beer. All right. Kicking it off, we're going to go with the Atlanta Braves money line plus 120, and that is available over at ProLine Plus. Then we're moving over to the Milwaukee Brewers as we're going to take them on the run line. Good value here at plus 110. That's available over at Caesars Sportsbook, followed by Arsenal as we're kicking off Premier League. We're going to take Arsenal money line minus 111, available on Coolbet, followed by the Wolves money line plus 230, and that is available over on Bet Rivers. Jake, my man, thanks so much for joining us. We've got to have you back on the show. Obviously, have you back on talking a bit of Raptors, talking a bit of Leafs as well.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And obviously, football as that comes back around. Who's your football team? You stoked for this year coming up? Oh, no.
I'm not stoked. I am a New York Giants fan.
Okay.
You know what? I'm partially stoked because I keep my expectations in check. We're going to have a very losing record. You know, we're not going to be good, but
very losing record.
Maybe Daniel Jones has a pretty good season. Probably not.
It hasn't started yet, so you don't know.
I haven't yet jumped off the Daniel Jones train. I'm like probably hanging on the bar at, you know, when you get on, you know, at the bar at the door, you're kind of waiting for the doors to open. I'm probably waiting there.
Yeah.
I'm still on the train, kind of seeing what can happen. Yeah. I really like the Giants draft, but
that means you
I love NFL
better.
You know
he's no good. You know he's no good when you're like, you're not off the train, but you know you should be.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's yeah. sort of.
He can't process. He can't make reads under pressure. He's been able to. Like he's just.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair,
fast enough in the NFL.
To be fair, he had to deal with Joe Judge, bad coach. He had to deal with Jason Garrett. I don't to this day understand why we hired Jason Garrett to run our offense. So with like maybe some good, I'm not going to give him the, like, maybe not the benefit of the doubt, but I just want to see him in a setting with a good coaching staff before I truly jump off.
Yeah. I was feeling the same sort of way about Jared Goff as well. Sort of just like, I didn't really understand him. And like, I'm just like, I want to like you. I want like, and he definitely proved himself to be a decent
Rams fan,
big Rams fan. And then when they, ended up trading for Stafford, it's just like, oh yeah, well this is fantastic. So maybe that's all you need is just a new quarterback to come in and be like, oh yeah, what the fuck? Why was I holding on to Daniel Jones that long? But hey, you know what? I mean, it's a long season, and I'm really excited for it to go down. One final thought: I love this whole being relegated sort of thing, and I'm definitely on the same boat with, you know, the NFL and CFL. Like the losing teams on the NFL get to go down to the CFL, and you take
what a cool system they have.
That is. Right? Oh man. Imagine the Argos get to make it to the NFL.
And think about how devastating that is for some of these lower end teams in these different leagues. Like if you go down to a championship league, is that what it's called? And then you don't get to
called
play
the championship,
these,
yes. And there's multiple tiers. Like it keeps going. There's not just two. It just keeps going and going.
And it's so costly to get relegated. And like if you get promoted, I guess. Like,
and it happens every year. That's crazy.
So much every money. Year. So wow. what I love about the system is that you don't need to be a big spending team. Like you can start completely from the bottom, create like we could just create a club right now, get started right at the bottom, whatever like 10th tier it is, and we can slowly year after year build, and you can get that club to the Premier League one day. It's
incredible.
It's a reality that teams have gone through. It doesn't happen, you know, in 10 years, maybe like 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But
sure,
that's something you can envision because it's possible to do that because of the system in place.
Just find an oil and gas juggernaut that's going to give you millions and millions of dollars to buy people over and fucking make your
club. Exactly.
And you know what? I got to say, this is something I'm going to be following just a bit more of. And especially now that we have, you know, some skin in the game as well, but we're slowly finding out a little bit more. And that's what's really fun about betting as well, is being able to, you know, play some bets on some teams that, you know, I obviously don't know much about Premier League. But when we have someone as experienced as you, being able to kind of guide us and be able to ride your bets as well, you know, we can become that much more invested. So one more time, Jake from BetStamp and from Amateur Hour Podcast. Jake, man, it was great having you on the show. Gotta have you back. This is a must as well, so definitely have you back on the show.
Yeah man, happy to come back. It's a lot of fun.
Let's do it.
Definitely would be willing to come back, talk some more sports for sure. Yeah.
Let's do it. One more time. Again, you can find us anywhere that you listen to your podcast. We're now on YouTube as well. You might be watching this right now. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and make sure you download that goddamn BetStamp app, because it has all the different line shopping that you have there. And if you forget some of the picks that we've just talked about, don't worry. Just go on the app. They're going to be up there in the media picks, and you can go ahead and ride along with us. But for Josh Elijah, Mike Fulmer, Birdman as well, and Jake from BetStamp and Amateur Hour Sports, thank you so much. Have yourselves a great weekend. Hope you win a buttload of money and have a couple cheers after that. Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
DB2 Bets is brought to you by BetStamp. Visit betstamp.app/Ontario. Use promo code DB2 to find your favorite sports book. And by Yup Beer, award-winning craft light lager. Visit yupbeer.com to find a store near you.
Let's go to the Blue Hotel. I want wanna live at the Blue Hotel.
The podcast that goes everywhere the imagination dares. It's for the open-minded, the pleasure seeker. It's Jeff Woods with the new podcast about relationships and sexuality, theme-based with special guests, the Blue Hotel Hotline, and every episode climaxes with an adult bedtime story. Get a room and listen in at the Blue Hotel. Begins Friday, September 23rd.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first five episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all three of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.